League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, having a fun show on an FYF Friday. We've got two in the books. We've got one to go. We got 1 hour left of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5. Fred, AJ, Aaron, award-winning, ratings-crushing. Why would you go anywhere else? What?
Somebody said, hey, Barry, I want to know what you think about Jim Jeffries.
Who is that?
He too controversial?
Love him.
He's very funny. I don't know about the controversy part of it. I haven't seen anything from him lately, but I will tell you that dude is hilarious.
Yeah, he gets away with, I'm not going to say gets away.
He really loves the C word, I'll tell you that.
He does.
He will use it just like any other word in the English language. He doesn't shy away from using it.
He'd fit in well at this station.
Yeah, he'll use it for sure.
He's not like Anthony Jeselnik, but he does remind me of him in a way that he does push it. Like, he's really edgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you get offended easily, I don't think you should watch either of those comics, honestly, perform, because they will offend you at some point.
Yeah.
If you're easily offended.
They're both
great. I feel like it.
No, I do. I like Jim Jeffries a lot. Did you see Chappelle's coming back this week?
I did not.
Come back to Houston?
Back in Houston. Tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday.
I think Houston is a good comedy town, sir.
Coming back around.
Put some respect on it.
I think he's doing one show a night at the House of Blues again. Tickets go on sale right now, 3 o'clock. I think he's doing one show.
You got a hookup?
No.
Why not, bro?
I mean...
Damn, hook a guy up.
I don't know.
You're a teacher now. I mean, let the teacher take care of the student. I mean, you're teaching at the Improv on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, I don't know. No. I don't know how it works.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
El Jefe, the Jeef. He's excited.
Yeah.
He's been trying to win a couple tickets. He tried to win the lottery so he can buy a couple
right.
tickets.
Same dynamic, like relatively small venue. He's probably going to sell out.
House of Blues.
Damn.
That's pretty cool that he keeps using Houston, though.
Yeah, he was in San Antonio, and now he's back in House of Blues again. Let's go see if we can get tickets.
Okay.
That would be pretty funny.
While you do that.
If I was able to get them.
I'm going to give you the lineup for your Houston Astros for Game 5. Leading off, Springer, Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Gurriel, Correa, Yordan, Chirinos, Jake Mariznick. Justin Verlander
You don't change the lineup. You just don't change the lineup. Why are you changing?
That was my Alex Rodriguez.
You have to say it a little bit more like this, and then you have to be so unbelievably cheesy that people don't believe him.
Oh, good. There's only 1,358 people in front of me in the queue to get tickets to Dave Chappelle on Sunday.
Is that for all three shows?
That's just Sunday.
Good luck to you.
Yeah. 1,358.
Is it just me because I have so much hate in my heart right now for Alex Rodriguez? But when you look at him on the air, too.
Yes, it's just you.
It looks like he's constipatedly sensitive. It's like he has the face like he's got one stuck, and then he's like, it's just one of those things where you guys aren't thinking about realistically what this team for the Yankees can do when healthy, regardless of what the Astros bring to the table. No, Alex, it's like, I don't trust you just like I didn't trust you when you said you didn't take steroids. So stop it.
Yeah.
You just have one of the least trusting faces.
Who's the broadcaster he normally works with?
He does have a punchable face. Who?
Who?
A-Rod?
Yeah, the broadcaster.
Matt Mescurgeon?
Yeah.
The play-by-play guy? Do they hate each other?
Oh, you could tell on the air. You could totally tell.
Because A-Rod got Matt Mescurgeon that job.
Yeah, I remember one time on the broadcast, like, he kept talking. I guess he felt like he was being long-winded, and Alex was like, you ramble a lot. Like, right there on the air during the call. And the guy's like, well, you know what? You ramble a lot too, Alex. And it was literally on the air.
You're selling me and Joel.
That's exactly what y'all said last time I mentioned it. And it literally, they sound like they hate each other.
I'm a professional, Barry. I don't think they hide it. I do those things off the air.
I really believe they don't like
each other. I wait to the break, and then I just
then
open
you
up.
Scream at me?
Yes.
I don't. I never really noticed it, but I could totally see not being able to get along with A-Rod, and I could totally see him saying inappropriate things. At one point, I've seen him in post-game a couple times now this year, this postseason, just kind of say weirdly inappropriate things to people on the – like Big Poppy likes to joke around. And he was making a joke, and Alex was like, okay, anyways, like, cutting him off and not letting him do his little joke and his shtick and trying to be Mr. Serious baseball guy. It's like, chill out, Alex. No one really wants to hear from you because you're ludicrous in the things that you say. You know, I'd rather listen to Big Poppy. Speaking of that, did y'all get to listen to the whole post game?
I did not.
No. I did not.
So he's interviewing Alex Bregman and Big Poppy. He's got Frank Thomas on his left. Mm-hmm. And he's got Alex Rodriguez on his right. And Big Poppy goes, hey, I have a question for you, Bregman. And he starts laughing uncontrollably. And he can't get it out. They're like, what are you doing? And he's like, I can't help it. He goes, okay, here's my question, Alex. If you had to choose, would you rather be in a commercial, in a NuGenix commercial with Frank Thomas or go to Alex and J-Lo's wedding?
Fantastic.
Because you know those stupid-ass NuGenix commercials with Frank Thomas where they're like, Frank! And he's like, oh, he's so big and strong.
And your lady's going to like it, too.
Yeah. And Frank was dying laughing.
That's fantastic. That's what you get with Poppy that I love.
And Alex was like, he wasn't really playing along. Like, he's kind of sold him out. Because, you know, I mean, we know on this, you got to sell the bit. You got to take one for your teammates and sell their bit sometimes.
Maybe he didn't get it?
I think he just didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
I think he just didn't like it. And he was like, oh, good. What'd he say? Can we get a translator up here? Like, you didn't have to crap on
and
him like that.
That's bad, too. That's really bad. Because the knock on Poppy is he's got all the knowledge. He's got all the stories. He's got the humor you were just talking about. Yep. It's just sometimes he's hard to understand. But for you to call him out like that, that's not cool.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's the thing about A-Rod. That's when you go back to the Yankees days and realize why Jeter didn't like him. Because he was so two-faced and he was so all about himself and worried about his image and his ego instead of doing the best things for the team. And again, he said one thing, did another so many times that you're like, how can you believe him? And then when you get into the whole steroid thing, you're like, I shouldn't have believed him. And now he wants everybody to love him. And it's just so hard because everything comes out of his mouth and he has a lot of knowledge. But it's just so phony.
I get it. Everybody brings up the steroid thing. But hey, I mean, if he was the only one that did it, it'd be a little bit different.
I'm with you. I tend to agree.
I don't really bring it up necessarily. Well,
I'm just calling.
I'll
like,
tell you
I
know, what, whatever
but
he
I'm
does.
Just saying, there was a lot of, look, Bagwell never got busted. Biggio never got busted. You can see pictures of Bagwell in his rookie year versus, you know, in his heyday.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily, a lot of guys probably
but
cheated and got away with it
forever.
But, yeah. And he got busted and suspended.
The difference
and Bagwell
is Andy
didn't.
Pettit has been forgiven.
Oh, yeah, everybody moves
on. By everybody, because he apologized and said from the get-go, I did it. Roger Clemens still hasn't been forgiven because he's still in denial.
I think around here no one cares.
Nationally, they still like Roger Clemens.
Oh, yeah, people
love. Around here they love him, but I'm saying from a baseball, from the writers, from Hall of Fame, from everybody that looked at baseball, dude, that dude was pound for pound the best pitcher of not just a decade, but generationally he was it.
Yeah.
And now people just crap all over him.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, there's a lot of people.
But you honestly think if A-Rod would have came out and owned the steroids that people would have forgiven him?
I mean, no way.
Again, well, he's a hateable dude.
More like, than
people
once,
just hate
though.
This. Like, he's saying his track record. Clemens doesn't give you a whole track record of reasons to hate him like A-Rod does because of other things he's done. And look, I was the biggest Roger Clemens fan from the time I was little all the way through. I wore 21 all my career pitching because of Roger Clemens. Because he was the dude. And so I think it's rough that guy. And it's like we talk about with Barry Bonds. That guy, whether he later in his career ended up taking something or not, still would have ended up in the Hall of Fame based on all of his accomplishments prior to that, just like Barry Bonds. Five tool, MVP, him and Griffey. If he never took a single steroid in his life and never chased the home run title, he's a slam dunk first ballot Hall of Famer.
Agree.
I have to say, like, with A-Rod, he just the lie just got too deep, and he couldn't turn, almost like a Ponzi scheme. Once you're in too deep, you can't stop. You can't turn back until you get busted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened with A-Rod. When he got caught multiple times or the second time, if he admitted after the second time, everybody was like, well, what, you didn't admit about it the first time. Like, you know, and they would have asked questions about that, and it would have just catapulted into something he'd never wanted to deal with.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a media situation that he did not want to deal with, but I can see why he didn't do it. I don't defend it. I just can see why he didn't do it.
So on the flip side of the Astros lineup we just gave you, the tease I was giving you before the break, alluding to a change in the Yankees lineup. I don't think it should put fear in Astros fans' hearts or Justin Verlander, but Encarnacion is now out, and he had been struggling mightily.
Oh, yeah.
And Giancarlo Stanton is going to give it a go. He's going to be the designated hitter.
I wonder what his average is against...
especially if he still is dinged up or that still is an issue, I'm not going to be too worried about it. So that doesn't scare me too much. I want to see the Yankees' actual lineup, because if I see Aaron Hicks or Brent Gardner in the top four, I'm giddy.
You know what's funny is yesterday going into that game, Yankees were a 1.5 run favorite with Tanaka on the hill versus Greinke. Mm-hmm. Astros are a 1.5 run favorite going into this game.
I think, like I said, early on, especially if they get down, I can see the Yankees folding up their tents and going home.
That's very possible.
And especially when you got a veteran on the mound that's going to go after it with everything he's got today in Verlander.
Encarnacion, 5-for-41 in his career against Justin Verlander, hitting 122. Mm-hmm. So they swapped him out with a guy that's 1-for-8, hitting 125.
Yay.
Yeah. Encarnacion has 2 home runs in his 41 at-bats. Giancarlo Stanton has 1 in his 8.
I am really curious about the lineup, because that is one knock, as much as A-Rod was all over the place in the postgame. The one thing that I will say that you and I have talked about over and over again with all these little not-so-subtle changes Aaron Boone has made to the lineup, the fact that he had Brent Gardner in the top three.
So their lineup is out.
I haven't seen it, so why don't you give it to the people?
Yeah, so DJ LeMahieu leads off, Aaron Judge second, Gleyber Torres batting third, which is where he should be.
Yes.
Kind of ridiculous. Giancarlo Stanton hitting fourth and DHing. Aaron Hicks is hitting fifth. Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius, Urshela, and then Gardner is batting in the number 9 spot.
I see 3 holes in that lineup right off the top.
Yeah.
I see 4, 5, and 9 for sure.
With
Stanton and
Hicks.
And Hicks.
Yeah, and Gardner.
And Gardner. I was just talking to you in the break. If you're the Astros, why don't you just throw him nothing? I mean, not even a changeup. Throw him nothing but curveballs and sliders, and realize he's not touching it with one of those kiddie boom bats you had when you were a kid that was like really big on the
big
barrel.
Yeah, Snoopy bat.
If you throw that guy any kind of off-speed pitch, game, set, match. He's done.
If you care, here's the career versus Justin Verlander based on the order. LeMahieu was hitting .333 in the first, so I'm going to go in the order. Judge is hitting .182. Gleyber Torres hitting third is hitting .083. Stanton's hitting .125. Hicks is .059. Sanchez is .083. Didi Gregorius is hitting .333. Urshela doesn't have a hit in 3 at-bats with a strikeout. And Brett Gardner is 9-for-36 hitting .250. So two guys have a respectable average.
LeMahieu
and Gregorius. They're both 5-for-15. They both have a home run and a couple RBIs. So those are
not
two guys to keep
an eye on. Not putting
fear
in my heart, boys.
No?
I'm good with it. So hopefully you are too. As a little earlier start time today in the Bronx. Hopefully it stays warmer a little longer. I'm not sure how the shadows are going to be affected by that. But again, true. It's something to keep an eye on when you've got a guy like Verlander on the hill against James Paxton. So that's your setup for the Astros for this evening as we continue to roll on. Reminder again, 3:30, Sarah Barshop, ESPN's Texans beat reporter, is going to join us like she normally does. Talk Texans and Colts. And maybe you got a couple other Texans-related questions we could throw her way before we get through that segment. So that's 3:30. All that and more coming up right around the corner. We'll be back in just mere minutes. ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's good to be alive now. We have the Google. True. I can't remember the last time I used my brain. What's 2 + 2? Whatever Google tells me. Just one question is, what does Google want? Like, I know what Microsoft wants. All my money. But Google's a little different. Google's like, hey, put your money away. I just want to watch. Google likes what it sees.
There you go, Barry. Tell him about your boy one more time. As
Jermaine Warren,
Friday.
My guy Jermaine Warren at I Am Jermaine W on Twitter. Super funny guy. Gotham Comedy Live. came up learning comedy with Jermaine as we kind of became friends. And I talked about that first road gig we ever did together where we got paid. We went together on the road with Ed Blake. And that was the gig, and it was one of the funniest things ever after a show, because I didn't have a great set. I didn't have a bad set, but I didn't have a great set, and Jermaine crushed, and Ed obviously crushed. And so we were all standing in the back after the show, and it was Ed first, Jermaine in the middle, and then me as you walked out the door, right, as you were trying to walk out the door. Mm-hmm. And people were like, they would go up to Ed, and they'd be like, hey, man, great show, you're so funny. And this one, you know, and that's usually what happens, and they did that, and this one guy goes – he goes, starts at Ed. He goes, God, man, you were so funny. I loved it. Loved your set. So funny. And then he gets to Jermaine. He goes, man, you are a killer. And then he gets to me and he goes, hey, all right. And then he just kept walking. I was like, damn, jeez, that was brutal. But there's so many times that that'll happen where you'll see a guy, you're standing next to another comic, and the guy wants to come up and say, like, whether it's to me or the other comic, and then they feel obligated to tell you that they liked you, even if they didn't. And every once in a while, they don't. I've seen a guy go, man, you were so funny. And then there was a guy next to him that was like, oh, you were up there too, right?
Like, damn. When's your next show?
Yeah, exactly. It can be brutal sometimes.
What's not brutal, Sarah Barshop, the Texans beat writer for ESPN, is going to join us at 3:30. So, again, stay tuned for that. And if you do want to fire off some questions to us, if we run out of time or need some fill, so we'll get some of your questions in, as well as some of the things that we have we want to talk to her about leading up to the Texans and the Colts this weekend from Indy. Should be a big game.
Text line, this is Demetrius. Hey, Barry, ever since you got your new Honda, do you still find yourself trying to insert a key when it's a push-button start vehicle? No, I never really had that problem, to be honest with you. I don't know why. I did go straight from the truck to this, and it was a key to a push-button. But I don't know. It didn't take long. I think maybe a week or so.
I love the fact we were talking about the Chappelle tickets, and I said, hopefully El Jefe gets a chance. In all caps, this was 17 minutes ago from El Jefe. How the F was I the first in line and suddenly there's no more effing tickets? Guess it didn't go well.
He was the first in line at the box office? He went there?
Doing the online thing. And yet he didn't get any tickets.
Ouch.
Millennial problem.
Your friendly neighborhood beer salesman texted and said, Joel, I agree with you about A-Rod. I can't stand his fake ass, and the fact that he got J-Lo makes it infinitely worse. Do you hold that against him as well, that he got J-Lo?
No, I mean, that's a great get.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to knock his hustle.
No, absolutely can't fault him for that. El Jefe followed up by saying, BS, it said one person in front of you right at 3 p.m. I get in, select my tickets, and then I get, we can't find the tickets you're looking for, sold out message. They are playing with the young man right now.
Yeah, that's not good. Sorry, Jefe.
That is a tough break because I know how desperately he wants to get in there.
It just be like that sometimes.
That sucks, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care to go, if I'm being honest. Actually, I couldn't go. I have a gig tonight and tomorrow in Bay City because, you know, I'm super important. Y'all know where Bay City is?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Where?
Down 45, right?
No. You're thinking Baytown, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess. I guess I was thinking
Bay Baytown. City is out past Victoria.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. It's in the middle of nowhere. So I'll be out there tonight.
So you're saying this show could suddenly be,
I'll be out
thrust
there
into...
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I'll be out there at the Bolarama tonight.
No, it's not. No way.
Is it really called that?
Seriously?
The Bolarama?
Yeah. So there's a bowling alley, and next to it is this room. They call it the Fat Boys Comedy Kitchen. And
perfect.
I was gonna say, I'm like, uh-oh, Nick.
I knew you were gonna love that so much.
Perfect.
I debated whether I should say it, but actually, I did that room last weekend, and it was pretty good actually.
Three lanes, Bolarama?
I think it's called
three lanes with shoes, a bowl of nachos, and Barry's show. $10.99.
Well, the funny part was they had a door, but they so the comedy room is on the side of the bowling alley, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big room. It's real, like, long. It's as long as a bowling lane.
Coincidentally.
Go figure. And they have a door so that you can close it so the distractions from the pool tables and the bowling doesn't get too loud. The problem is the walls don't go all the way up to the ceiling. They stop about three-quarters of the way. So you can still hear everything.
You're hearing the break of the ball. You're hearing every strike.
But the owner was a great dude. He pulled me aside. He was like, hey, you're really funny. I'm going to introduce you to some of my friends. And he's been in the comedy club business since 1992. apparently he knows some pretty, he's like, we're going to get you on the East Coast and we're going to get you in Atlantic City. So I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So
contacts,
he was like,
mean a lot.
He goes, yeah, well, it's what he said. He goes, I got a name coming through, a guy that books Atlantic City is going to be headlining here next weekend. I want you to come out and feature for him so he can see you. Let's get you booked on the East Coast. So I'm not going to turn that down. I was like, I'll see you Friday and Saturday at the Bowl-O-Rama, player.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You know, all it takes is one contact that turns into something big.
I see a Bolera Fun Center. I don't see
Oh, that's what it is.
Is that
the Bolera?
There's a Bolera Fun Center in Bay City. Is
That's it.
It looks nice from the pictures, honestly.
It's not bad inside. It's really nice. They took it over and redid it, but it is the first time I've ever done it in a bowling alley.
Free rental shoes if you purchase three lines of bowling and a ticket to the comedy show tonight.
Can I just tell you that that's the worst part about bowling for me is wearing shoes that other people have worn.
Oh, I'm sure. Even no matter how much they spray them.
Oh, God, yeah. You could dip them in acid and it would still bother me. Yeah. But no, it was a cool room. The dude was cool. He's going to try to hook me up with some guys on the East Coast that book casinos and book all this stuff in Atlantic City. So we'll see what happens.
That's awesome.
Can't hurt, right?
That's fantastic.
So it's called the Bolera. I don't know why I thought it was called
That's what I was looking up, and the first one that popped up was Bolera. So I'm assuming that's where you're going. It is in Bay City, the one that I found. So.
Yeah?
So it's called Bolera Fun Center.
Okay.
And the pictures, the Google images, you know, it looks decent to me. It looks like a nice venue to me.
I think they have a Space Invaders machine.
I don't like you.
And what's the travel time there and back?
2 hours from my house.
Oh, wow.
One way.
Oh, it'd probably be an hour from us.
Yeah, it would be, right?
Probably.
Still wouldn't make a difference.
The guy that
want to go bowling
the guy that owns it, we were talking because he does radio. Because I asked him, I was like, bro, with all your connections, and he used to be in the WWF. He used to be a wrestler. Boris Bolshevik, if you guys remember that.
I think I've heard that name before.
Yeah.
I thought you cursed, bro.
Nick, I'm not taking any more of your Bolshevik today.
He was Boris Bolshevik. He was also, at the time when George the Animal Steel had a son, he was his son to George the Animal Steel. So I was like, oh, snap. I remember Boris Bolshevik. Yeah.
Bro, I don't even want you saying his name anymore. Don't say his name no more.
Bolshevik.
What kind of name is that?
My aunt used to do that because my aunt was very religious and she wouldn't cuss. And when I messed with her, she was like, oh, Bolsheviki. That's what she would say.
Yeah, that was a Midwest. It's a Midwest thing, too. It really is.
She would say Bolsheviki.
Yep.
Yeah. And she would literally be like, oh, darn it to heck. Okay. Wow. Watch your mouth, Aunt Diane. Your potty mouth. But yeah, he was a wrestler and all that. We were talking. I was like, well, how the hell does a guy that owns comedy clubs on the East Coast in Pennsylvania and has all these New Jersey, New York connections with big names, Rich Voss and Billy Crystal, and like he's connected. I'm like, how do you end up in Bay City, Texas at a Bowl-O-Rama or whatever? He goes, I'm in radio and I go around the country like I'm a program director and I go around and people will bring me in as a guy to help, you know, boost ratings or boost the market. And he said, and these guys down here owned a couple stations in the area, brought me in and I boosted them and they sold them. And then I had my money and I was like, well, here's an opportunity to buy this and fix it up. And so here I am. I was like, that's cool.
There you got it. You know what else is cool? Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for ESPN, is going to join us next. We'll talk a little bit about that big game in Indy this weekend between the Colts and the Texans. Stay tuned for that and a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, your one-stop shop for everything sports. As you know, Astros tonight could close the deal and get their ticket punched to the World Series, and also a big one Sunday. Texans, Colts, and Indy. And as we always go, we go with our expert, the best in the business, Sarah Barshop, ESPN's beat writer for your Houston Texans. Sarah, thanks so much for making some time for us again on a Friday. Always great to have you on the show.
Great to talk to you guys.
We've even given you like lots of promotion on Twitter with, you know, keep us out of it. Just a full-blown picture of you to get everybody to tune in and listen even more. Because God knows we'd scare people away. I got to ask you right off the top. because it's been a hot topic for us. We know Fairbairn has been good. He was a draft pick of the Texans, but he struggled mightily even last week. Is it an issue enough that the Texans either have, and we haven't heard about it, or are thinking about bringing in other kickers, at least as competition and maybe a little oomph for him?
I'm sure thinking about it. I'm not sure if they've brought anyone out, not that I've heard. But, I mean, I think at this point, the field goals are one thing, right? But the extra points is something you've got to worry about. I think he's about just four in the last four games. What if the Texans had lost to the Colts or the Chiefs by 1 point? You know, like, I don't know. That was huge. So I think they're thinking about it. O'Brien kept saying that they have to look at the full operation. I think I saw on the field goal list, like, the laces were out. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was a bad hold. But yeah, I mean, they've got to fix that, because when the rest of the team is playing as well as they have, they can't, you know, lose a game because of their kicker situation.
I know you had the article on ESPN, but what's the latest on Tytus Howard, and what is the feeling around that locker room after him going down with that MCL issue?
Yeah, I think it was kind of a relief, because immediately it looked like it was going to be much worse. I mean, even Bill O'Brien said after the game, like, he said from what I just heard, it maybe looked worse than it was. I mean, the guys all walked up to him, you know, they were all around him when he got carted off. So I thought maybe it was going to be season-ending just from what we saw right away. But he has the partially torn MCL. They hope he's back at some point before the season ends. He should be. But I think the feeling is, you know, they believe in Rod Johnson, but also they've had back-to-back games not giving up a sack. And you feel like you finally got the offensive line figured out, and then, of course, that happens.
Yeah, speaking of injuries, we're also talking about that Texans secondary, because after J.J.O. came down with Tyreek Elitis, and obviously has been a little longer in the tooth and slower than people were hoping for, now you lose Roby, and with all the good and the momentum and everything that this team has going forward, if they don't get some help in the secondary, they could really be asking for it, particularly like this week when you're going up against a guy that has been a nemesis of theirs in T.Y. Hilton. Any inclination of what they're going to do to try and add some depth there?
I think Joseph may play. I just saw the injury report come out. It looks like he and Roby are both listed as questionable. I would surprise me if Roby played. But, I mean, they like what Lonnie Johnson did. But, again, like, it depends who he has to go up against. I thought he held his own in the game against the Chiefs, especially when Roby and Joseph were both out. But, I mean, certainly you just hope that it's not a long-term problem, because some of these quarterbacks they're going to play, I mean, even Brissett has beat them, you know. T.Y. Hilton has had a lot of success against them, and I think the secondary right now is maybe one of the weaker points of the team.
Talk a little bit about the attitude of this team overall. I mean, I think that they have surprised a lot of people. I would dare say that they've surprised themselves with some of the victories they had and being 4-2 so far. What's the mood like in that locker room? Are they having fun and enjoying this? Are they strictly business? What's it like right now in the Texans locker room?
It seems like it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I saw on Instagram stories a couple of players had videos from the plane after the game, and obviously that was a huge win. And they were, you know, celebrating. Someone had a boombox. They're all singing and having fun. But I did find it was interesting that Bill O'Brien, rightfully so, as the coach, has said, you know, that was just 6 games. We're 4-2, but there's a long way to go. We can't get so excited that we forget to focus on this game coming up. So I'm sure he has let them celebrate for a little bit, but also reminded them that they need to focus, because this is a tough Colts game they're going to face on Sunday.
I've talked about a lot the fact that this seems like the kind of the year that they exercise all the demons for the Texans. Normally, you give up a punch-in-the-mouth score against a really good opponent, and then when you get a turnover, they fold up in their tents and go home. Instead, they came back, they beat the Chiefs, they played fantastic. You know, they couldn't beat a quarterback with a QB rating up in the 70s. They beat Rivers. You know, they beat Mahomes. They beat Ryan. They've done a lot of good things. But as you look at it, one of the other things that they need to exercise in terms of what's been a bugaboo of in the past is that House of Horrors in Indianapolis. How do they overcome all of the bad memories of the past? And really, this is such a huge game. They say divisional games are obviously worth two, but because it's basically a two-team race in the South, how big of a game is this for the Texans?
I think one is not letting T.Y. Hilton beat you, as he has in the past.
Marlon Mack also will be tough. And then the Texans, I asked Bill O'Brien about this today, and he knocked on wood when I asked, but I said they hadn't allowed a 100-yard rusher in the last 22 regular season games. So that obviously, I mean, if this isn't in that area, I'll be curious if they can do it against Mack. I think it's just about limiting them, right? Like, you can't let T.Y. Hilton beat you. And then Deshaun just has to play as well as he has the last 2 weeks, and now that's easier said than done, of course. But he's shown in this offense, has shown how good they can be, and he keeps saying he's just taking what the defense gives him. So we'll see how good this Colts defense is and what they are giving him. But I think if he can play anywhere close to the level he has in the last 2 weeks, they should be fine.
Yeah, talk a little bit about what this team, how the feeling is going to Indy. I mean, we were talking about it earlier on the show. You know, they don't have a great track record on the road in Indianapolis. However, over the last four games that they've played up there, they've won three of them. Do they feel like that they've that monkey's off their back and now it's just a normal road game, or is there still that a little bit of mystique about playing in Indy?
I don't think so, and I think part of it's because Deshaun Watson hasn't been here. I mean, that long. This is his third season, so he hasn't really had to experience that. He won in Indy last year. They won in overtime last year. So I think there are obviously guys on this team that probably remember and think about that. But I think when Deshaun Watson's your leader and he hasn't been through all of that, I don't really think that's the focus. I think they do see it as a tough game. And they think that Indianapolis is a really well-coached team. They're a good team. But I don't know that they worry so much about going to Indy as much as it is just it's a road game against a good team.
As you look at the landscape of the AFC, and we know now Mahomes is hurt, but the Texans already beat Kansas City in Kansas City. And we look at this game between the Colts and the Texans. Is the winner of this game considered the most viable chance to give the Patriots a run for their money in the AFC based on how everything has gone to this point in the season?
I think so. Now, I'll never count out the Chiefs. I think when Mahomes is back, I think they're probably better than either of the AFC South teams. I know the Texans have just beat them, but I think a fully healthy Mahomes, and I mean, Watson's obviously very good too, but I just think Mahomes makes the Chiefs team so good. But I am looking forward to that game, the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots might be, what, 12-0 when they come to NRG
yeah.
this year? It's that Sunday night game, and obviously the Texans have gone to 3 years in a row, plus the playoff game, four games in 3 years, I think, and they've lost every single game. So I'm curious what it will be like to see the Patriots come here if Deshaun Watson is playing as well as he does and have him and Tom Brady go to head-to-head. I think that should be a fun game, and maybe will show us who the best team in the AFC is.
All right, Sarah, what's your keys to the game this week?
I think it's running the ball. I mean, you don't need Carlos Hyde to have 118 yards or whatever he had every single week, but I think kind of like the way they did against the Chiefs, they can control the pace of the game, and they can run the ball as well as they did. I think there's a good chance they'll win this game.
Good deal. We always appreciate you spending some time with us. We know you're busy and you're heading off to Indy, so travel safe. Make sure you bring us a win, and we'll check with you next week as we continue to roll through the schedule. That's Sarah Barshop, ESPN 97.5.
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
There you go. Back with our final segment as we'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, and turn it over to the Blitz next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F Yeah Friday. If you missed any portion of the show, as we always tell you, you need to go to ESPN975.com. At the top of the page, you'll see the usual suspects. Click on the show tab. You will find the hours that you missed, and you can catch up. While you're there, you download the ESPN975 app, and then you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss another show. If you missed any portions of today's show, you probably missed our comedian of the week, Jermaine Warren. Barry gave you the background story on him. We had clips at 1:15, 2:15, 3:15, just FYI.
Yes.
Yes. So, baseball this evening. How you seeing it playing out?
I think the Astros win. Why?
Because normally you curse them, but
did
now
I?
You're worrying me a little bit.
I think you guys both should pick the Yankees again today. That way the Astros secure the series.
Somebody texted me. It was like, oh, well, this was a hot take when I said I needed to change my score from Yankees 6-3 to Yankees 10-4 after I saw the wind and the flags blowing out, kind of tongue-in-cheek as a joke.
Right.
And some guy was like, oh, well, this was a hot take. I was like, well, did you tweet me when I actually got the winner and the score exactly right in Game 3? Because if you didn't tweet me then, don't tweet me now.
Good point.
Okay?
Yeah.
When I get them right, if you don't tweet me, don't tweet me when I get them wrong. Because I'm going to get it as wrong as much as I get it right. All right? But I think when you look at, you've got this team on the ropes. You've got arguably the best pitcher in the American League, not named Garrett Cole, on the mound against a team that, we said all along, all you have to do is win the Justin Verlander starts. I said, if you can win those,
the Verlander and Cole
starts, then obviously you go to the World Series. And now that you got a Zach Greinke start under your belt and one, that's bonus. I think the Yankees know that they're, if you're a Yankee, think about this. Do you honestly think as a team, do you really believe in your heart of hearts that you can beat this Astros team three games in a row, two of them at Minute Maid Park? I think they're defeated before they walk on that field.
And like you said, two of them against Cole and Verlander. And the other thing is, from a weather perspective, weather's not going to bother Verlander. Because he pitched in Detroit, and he pitched in the playoffs in Detroit, and he pitched in cold weather before, and he knows the environment, and he knows everything about it. And the comfortable, relaxed Astros team is a team that can go off and continually go crazy offensively and defensively when they're loose. And they're going to be loose because they did everything they had to do.
Yeah.
On the flip side, you're going to have one bunch of tight puckering Yankees that realize they got to pull out every stop, all the desperation mode, and hope everything goes their way.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the Yankees can't win this game. I'm certainly not suggesting that. They have the bats to get it done. I just think my prediction, and it's obviously we're going to get as many wrong as right. Mm-hmm. I think the Astros win the game. Is it going to surprise me if the Yankees win? No, because you're supposed to win at home in the playoffs. You're supposed to. So the fact that they've lost two is shocking. You know?
Yeah. But you win. You know, look, that's no slouch over there. It's a 100-win baseball team that survived a plethora of injuries and continued to just go and go and go and finished one home run shy of the all-time record in a season. Also, with everything being said, I would say that if they lose tonight, I think it's definitely going seven.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't think you start Cole in game six.
I agree.
I think you take your chances with Urquidy or whoever it's going to be, bullpen, whatever you're going to do, Peacock. But yeah, I think Garrett Cole is your Game 7 starter if needed, and good luck. I mean, good luck to the Yankees having to beat Verlander and Cole over three games.
And if they need any more motivation, the fact that the Nationals are already sitting there waiting and they know their rotation is set up, the motivation is there to not only do it on their field in front of their fans as a really good way to finish the series, but also knowing that if you do it tonight, your rotation sets up perfectly for the World Series and the next series and the ultimate prize. I think that'll motivate everybody involved, and I think that's going to be a big deal. So we'll see how it all plays out. We were talking earlier, too, about the fact that, look, the two guys that are in the front for MVP of the series, and I think Correa is number one, haven't really done it for average and got a lot of hits. They've just gotten timely hits.
Yeah.
Correa is 3-for-17 in the series with a double, two ding-dongs, seven strikeouts, and he's the front runner for MVP of the series.
You don't think Altuve is going to get any votes?
I think Springer will get some votes, too.
Yeah.
Because remember, the guy that got him back from 2-1 deficit when they were desperate in game two was Springer.
Yeah.
And he got the big home run last night. So I think that all three of those guys will get some votes. I know one guy that's not.
Who?
Yordan Alvarez. You know what he is for the series?
I don't care.
1-for-15.
I don't want to hear.
1-for-15. You know how many strikeouts he's got? Pretty much like he is for the playoffs. 7 strikeouts and 15 at bats in the ALCS.
But that's your baseball Jesus, right? That's what you're not.
He's got
the logo and the shirts. And,
wait, mine? Because don't put that on me.
Yeah, you.
I'm a fan of
everybody else in this town.
Okay, Mister. I'm bitter, and I don't think now suddenly you're back on it where you didn't deserve the logo. And
I'm just saying. I stand by what I said. You let these guys hit out of it. I wouldn't change the lineup. I don't move anybody around. But I think you got to give some consideration to Altuve.
He's been tough. Look, I said it's hard to argue with those three guys. Because yeah. Altuve has hit for average, and he's been a catalyst, and the base running plays, and all the different things that he's been able to do have been fantastic. But at the most crucial time in games,
oh yeah, no,
Correa Carlos with Correa. The walk off,
yeah,
the one that's the 3-run bomb that solidifies it last night. Defensively, he's played really, really good.
Oh yeah,
so
I'm with you. I think Carlos Correa should be the winner.
Mm-hmm.
I think Altuve needs to get some consideration along with Springer, like you said. But it's so crazy, though, man. Every time you look up, it seems like Altuve's on base.
Yeah, it is.
It really does.
And the next thing you know, he's off and running. He's flying around the base paths. You know, he's wreaking havoc on everything when he's in an offensive position, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see and we'll gather again on Monday with good news from the Astros. Nick, I wanted to ask you this in particular, but maybe Barry, you too.
Oh, real quick, before we move on.
Yes.
The lineup is out for the Astros.
Yeah, I read it already.
You read it already.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Did you want to hear the career averages against Paxton?
Sure.
Springer's hitting .242.
Okay.
Altuve's hitting .333, 10 for 30.
Nice.
Brantley's hitting .333, 4 for 12. Bregman is 7 for 28, hitting .250. Gurriel's hitting .200. Correa's hitting .409 with 22 at-bats. And then Alvarez is 0 for 2. Chirinos is .091. And Marisnik is hitting .333. So that might be why Jake was in the lineup, because he's 7 for 21 against Paxton.
That's
so
the thing. Unlike, for whatever reason, like a little bit of uneasiness because of Tanaka got him in the first game and being a little less confident in the box. They're going to be very confident in a guy they've seen more than enough in James Paxton.
Yeah, and you got the lefty-on-lefty matchups with Tucker and Reddick, and so it makes sense to throw a righty in there and get Jake in a game, and it's not going to hurt you. I mean, he's not going to kill you.
No.
No worse than Reddick is.
They wrapping it up?
The Astros?
Yeah.
No, I actually think the Yankees will win. I think if you talk about one word that we've used a lot about this Yankees team is resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they've dealt with injuries, and I feel like this is the playoffs. I think this is they're not going to make it that easy. I expect the series to go 7 games. I don't think Astros are going to win. I'd like to be wrong.
You don't think the Astros win the series, or you're saying tonight?
No, I don't think they win tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
But you think if they don't win tonight, it goes 7?
Yeah. Okay. I still think the series goes 7. I still think the Astros end up in the World Series. That's my prediction, yeah.
Right. So we can wrap with this one. Fellas, ever watched porn at any time, and aside from the actual sexual maneuvers themselves, think to yourself, you know what, that's a move that I could use in real life that could really help me?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Just to pick up chicks?
Yeah.
Okay. You ever thought about going into a Dollar General store and just whipping it out and saying, and taking your chances to see what the reaction might be?
No, I would be laughed out of the store, so I'm not doing that.
So you'd either be laughed out of the store, or you might have the authorities called. In the case of Nicholas Sheehy, a Wautumwa, Iowa resident.
Who?
He is Wautumwa, Iowa, home of Radar O'Reilly from MASH. An Iowa man charged with exposing himself to a woman at a variety store told cops that he had seen people do it on a porn film and thought it might be a good thing to do. So he walked into the middle of a Dollar General store and saw a woman who was accompanied by her son.
Oh, no.
And decided the best course of action would be to just stop in his tracks, show her his junk.
That's not very smart.
Seriously.
So that's not Florida?
No, it's in Iowa, remarkably. And he doesn't look very smart.
No, he doesn't look very smart.
23 years old.
Now, I think we've all, as men, done this, where you see a move done in porn and you're like, yeah, I'm going to try that. And then you try it and you're like, it hurts you and it hurts her. And you're like, I'm sorry. I saw it in a video. I thought it would work. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't think it would.
That's so funny.
Right?
It's just being real, I guess. Yeah. I can't. I didn't keep
lying.
You know,
that like, I saw in the movie. Yeah, that
so which move did you try that didn't work?
That hurt me, too.
Share that with us.
I thought it would bend more than it did. That hurt me. I'm sorry. Y'all have never done that.
Well, give us an example. We want to know.
I don't remember the move, but you've never tried a move.
The ceiling fan trapeze or
no,
what?
Saying, you've never tried a move, and then you've been like, my bad. I saw that in a porn. I thought it would work.
And I told her that. Yeah, I was like, yeah, my bad. I saw that in a porn. I thought I'd try it on you. That's exactly what I told her.
You've never done that.
No, I know.
A lot of gold stars going towards date number 2. That'll work well.
All right, just me, I guess.
Yep.
I wish we would have brought this up sooner. I bet you
of our listeners, there's plenty of people that were experimental in that regard.
Yeah, they'd be like, "Yep, I've done that." Maybe you didn't apologize out loud, but inside you're like, "Well, that wasn't real. That only was in."
I feel like the only person that would be cool with that is Alice Little.
Yes, our resident
amongst others that dabble in the adult industry. Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. Sorry, Alice. I saw this in a porn, but obviously it didn't work on you.
Yeah.
This dude, when he was confronted by police, just basically said, "Yep, I did it. I whipped it out. I figured, you know what? I had seen someone do it in a film, and I believe that maybe she might respond to it sexually." In the middle of a day, in a Dollar General in Iowa.
That's not very smart. I do think we should try, though, as an experiment, send Nick out and see if that works.
No.
You want to? No?
I mean, you couldn't pay me to do that.
Do it for the Nick show, the, Nicholas.
Nick the.
Yeah.
Couldn't pay me to do that assignment.
Just no.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you would get paid. You'd be on the clock, so you'd get a. You'd get paid.
No.
Okay.
Just making stuff.
Joel,
up.
Joel, you're
now.
Up.
Nope. Yeah, that's a good look for me. New daddy. Hey, how about some fun? I got a rat. No.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so before we get out of here, I do want to tell you all about the people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. I made the switch to Infuse about 3 years ago, and you should too, because they care about the suspects. And I've had several suspects that have called me and asked me for the information. They've actually talked to Josh Pesikoff, the CEO, directly, and he's hooked them up just like he can do the same for you. It's real easy to do. One, you can go on you can go to InfuseEnergy.com, or you can call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, and you're going to get a human being on the phone and not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they're going to pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and the best rate and plan that they can possibly find for you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. It's a $25 bill credit right off the top, and they'll go from there. Simply put, it is 100% green energy at your fingertips, but more importantly, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. They are like a trusted friend, and they have the ratings to prove that they know what they do. 5 out of 5-star rating on the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. If you're looking for a new energy provider, you should start and end with Infuse Energy. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, Infuse Energy into your life. And with that said, for Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have a great weekend, everybody. Fred, AJ, Aaron, Blitz coming up next. Talk to you Monday right here on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.